Hello and welcome to the Mothers of Nations podcast, the podcast to educate, train, and equip women to impact their communities and rule their world. Each year, for 3 days, Mothers of Nations Annual Camp organizes sessions of training and education to train and equip women in ministry for their calling. Whether you are a worker, pastor's wife, ordained minister, or you just want to be more effective in ministries, these sessions will inspire, encourage, and equip you. Today, we have a message for you from Dr. Annie Smith. For more information on Mothers of Nations Annual Camp, please visit hearttoheart.org/Mothers of Nations and join us every week for the Mothers of Nations podcast.
We are in a defining moment for the church. It is such a defining moment that we can't miss what the Lord is doing. There is an image that came to me when John and the Lord called the disciples, 3 disciples, to go and pray with him on the mountain. And when they fell asleep, and 3 times the Lord woke them up, and still no one could wake up. And they never knew that that same night, the Lord was to be arrested. What a missed moment that the Lord of hosts will tell you to wake up and pray with him. For 3 times you will fall asleep. Just to see that few hours after, he is arrested. A missed participation. No matter how they could catch up, no matter how John stayed at the cross of the Lord Jesus for hours, waiting for him to give out, to give his ghost. No matter the care the Lord gave him of his mother, he could never substitute the fact that he missed the time of fellowship before his arrest. No matter the fact that Christ, in his divine love, could see, call upon him and say, John, this is my mother. Take care of him. Out of his divine love and mercy, he can never substitute the fact that there was a divine time where the Lord was asking him, commune with me, participate with me. This is about to happen. What would they have received during that time of communion? What would have been communicated into their mind? If they had prayed with the Lord Jesus, what would the Lord communicate to them during that time before his arrest? After that, there was no moment of communion again. It was from his arrestation to the religious leaders, from there to the tribunal, from there he was at the cross, from there he was dead, and from there he just came back. There are defining moments in our lives. And there is something that has been coming into my mind. The Lord said, every other religion bring something at the table. And why they have something to bring at the table. What happened with Christian? They spend time talking. They spend time killing the devil. They spend time. From the moment I heard it, I said, Lord Jesus, I've had my eyes open to what you're doing at this season. I will not miss at the beginning of this decade what you have revealed to the church and where the world is going. I will not miss, Father. I will not miss my participation. No, God's plan is always working. What it means is that with or without your participation, his plan is at work. That is what it meant. But it doesn't take away the responsibility of you being where it is happening. I could just imagine the heart of John after everything, after he woke up and he saw that was the Lord being arrested. When I put myself at his place, I said, my, I would have said, my, Father, my. So he was trying to say something. He was trying to awaken me to participate. He was trying to let me commune with him. He was trying to give me something. He was trying to walk during this season with me. And I couldn't see that. Yet I am just opening my eyes when they are taking him away from me. I am sure that is the mindset that John had his whole life. I'm sure he walked with that. Though, contrary to several of us, to many of us, many people would have retracted. I said, oh, I miss it. But John said, I'm not going to continue to miss it. Though I miss it, I still have the chance to wake up. He went that day at the cross. He followed all the steps that the Lord took when they were scorning his body and taking away his flesh with the crown that was placed upon his forehead. And when he was undergoing that agony, John was there and he never left him. When he went on the cross, John was there. When everybody left, what does that mean for you? It means some did not even realize that something just happened before their eyes. Because when he went on the cross, what happened is that they were nowhere to be found. But I'm sure John, because he was the beloved, his mind was awakened. He said, I will not miss a second time. Yes, I will be there for you, Father. I will fellowship with you. I will commune with you. This time I will not let my opportunity pass by. So he stayed there before the cross and hours. While the Lord was suffering on the cross, John stayed there, beholding the cross. And hours were passing, but John was there. He saw the Lord giving his last breath by himself. But before he gave his last breath, look at the mercy of the Father. He looked at John. He saw John has understood he had missed something. He saw that John was regretting. He looked at him to console and comfort him. He saw that John felt the pain of not participating during that crucial time. And the greatest blessing he gave John, he said, son, this is your mother. He said, this is your mother. You understood. I wanted you to participate with me. This is another opportunity I'm giving you. And that is the greatest honor anyone had ever received. That he could care for the mother of Jesus. And history will tell us that he didn't miss that. Amen. He cared for her so well. Because he had understood he had missed something that was determining. He had missed a defining moment and he has understood. Hallelujah. Amen. I told the Father, Father, I will not miss. Several declarations that have been given to us for this decade, only the blind man will not see. And God cut short his plan, moving from the dispensation of grace to the dispensation of Christ. How privileged are we to see the dispensation of Christ? That you don't need to wait for it to be written in the Bible. It was declared when you were there. Amen. That you're entering in the dispensation where Christ is going to be made visible. More than ever before, he's going to walk on the street. Christ's dispensation. We need godly wisdom. We need godly wisdom to deal with the issues in the outward world. We need godly wisdom to deal with the issue of the inward world. And more than every time, any other time during history and in the world, the man of God said it. We have to be in a haste to be silent. There might not be a time like this. I don't know if your eyes have perceived anything, but there might never be a time where we are fully invited at the table. He has set the table for us before the enemies of the church. But setting the table does not mean that we are sitting on the table. It might be possible that the table is set by the Father to dine with the Son and participate in communion for the directives of the Lord. Yet, we can still move forward to take that seat because we are so concerned by the irrelevant.
The Mothers of Nations podcast with Dr. Annie Smith.
Man has been co-crucified with Christ. This means that when Christ died, you died with him. That man who was a slave, who was a captive, who was a victim of circumstances, died on the cross.
Engage into this journey of self-discovery. Come face to face with your real identity, your identification with Christ, in this book by Dr. Annie Smith, The Liberating Secret. To place your order, visit us at Icon Service Center opposite Boulanger Sake de Douala, Cameroon, or visit our online store at gcmonlinestore.com today.
The Mothers of Nations podcast with Dr. Annie Smith.
Christ's perspectives gives us the readiness of grace. Amen. Christ's perspectives gives us the readiness of grace. You see, a dimension of the grace of God that we receive does not depend on every year's event or circumstances. And sometimes we become mindful, or more mindful, if you will, of the grace of God in our ability. And several times we want to use what Paul would say, when I am weak, that's where I am strong. All right? And we want to use the description of Paul when he speaks about grace coming to him in his inability to say, to figure out more about the grace of God, about our need of it when we are in need. Praise God. But that's been very religious, because grace is not needed, or I would rather say, is no more needed when you are in need, and excuse me the repetition, than it is needed every day of your life. And we might very well notice that we might have been very religious for the past years. Because when all goes well, scarcely do we figure out about our need of him. Grace is Christ giving himself unreservedly. Am I right? Grace is that divine exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9. He who was so very rich became poor that for our sake we might become rich. Grace is God's gift in Christ. Am I right with that? What does that mean? If I am thinking much more of receiving God's gift in Christ, when I figure out my inability, it somehow means my whole life has been a set or a bunch of religious activity. I've not understood grace. Because what you mean by that, it is that the gift of God was for us to be, simply for us to be healed, for example. It's by saying that Christ gave himself fully that we might be healed. Praise God. It's like you want to say Christ gave himself only that we might be rich. Is a saying that Christ gave himself only that we might that he might compensate, like it's a compensation. Christ is a compensation of our inability. But that's not the reason, that's not why Christ came. That's not the reason of God's gifts in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, how many of you can you figure out what I'm saying? And sometimes you become so much aware of him, only when you're in your inability. You think you need him more when you're in your inability. You become so very conscious of him, and that is why you think you're really ministered to. Am I right with that? Now, we might be missing a lot of things in God. It is very probable, because there is something that I realized, the ministration of God, of the gift of God, whenever we do not mind about our personal circumstances, or we're not mindful about our needs and our natural situation, hallelujah, will minister growth and increase to us in our spiritual array more than when it comes when we are in need. Because in reality, when you receive the ministration of the grace of God, we are in need. It ministers to your weakness, not to spiritual growth. And God doesn't want you to grow through your inability. He has not called you to grow by your inability. Am I right with that?
Amen.
Am I right with that?
Amen.
So, thinking or receiving the ministration of grace, or receiving the expression of grace, only when we face events of our life and thinking that that is where grace is more palpable, is in reality a pseudo grace, which is not a grace of God. It's a pseudo interpretation of the gift of God. I would say it's a misuse. It's a misinterpretation. It's a misacquisition. It's a misexperience of the gift of God. Sometimes we need to, and the man of God taught us that, sometimes it's required for us to move from the mindset of human, the human mindset of always figure out what we do not, or what we don't, or what we cannot, to live as if we have everything. There's nothing that we cannot and we do not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That we may be able to receive fully from the Father. When we miss to live in that mindset, it might be possible that we might have never been ministered to. And that's why you see many people don't grow. We take days to search for the Lord. We take days to pray. We take days to look for him. We take days for teachings. And sometimes the circumstances and situation of our life come to remind us of our need of the grace of God. That's very selfish. If you have to face circumstances and situations to be reminded about how desperate you are of the grace of God, it means you've never really understood what is the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you want to give someone a gift, do you figure out about what's the need the person have? If that is the case, there are some people you will never give a gift for. And that's why you have people never giving to the church. Because they look at the man and the woman of God, they say, oh, they have no need. Or I don't know what to give them. And they look at the man and the woman of God, they say, oh, the way they are living, what can you give Dr. Annie? Or what can you give Dr. Sean? You've never understood anything. Praise God. And how do you think that is how God functions? And he begins to look at your need and say, oh, he has no need. I don't know how to minister to him. Do you understand the example?
Amen.
In reality, transformation begins when you are able to find no need and you're still able to give joyfully.
Amen.
That's where grace give begins. There's no need to give, yet I give. If you are the kind of person that wants to locate a need in the church before investing, you've not understood anything. That's why it's important to understand the gift that we have in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is always the same. He has never changed. He has already given himself completely. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His gift doesn't vary as per the events of your life. Hallelujah. That is what the man of God will call the readiness of grace. It is available. He has given himself fully, and he's giving himself at every time, any circumstances of our life, his gifts of Christ in us. It is effective no matter the timing, no matter the period, no matter the location. It can be received fully and can be experienced fully at any circumstance of our life. Hallelujah. But here is a dilemma, and I'm going to tell you that you can only fully understand this gift when you forget about your human inabilities. It is your focus has been throughout the year and about looking at your inability and your desire. And sometimes some songs encourage us in that false mindset. I am desperate for you, Lord. You need to feel a dryness inside. You know, some people, until they feel a dryness inside, they don't search for where the Bible is. Which is, you begin to search in your inner man, your union with Christ, when you feel that you are completely dry. It means he has come like a rescuing ability. And that is how we have been looking at the grace of God. That's a rescuing capacity, a rescuing ability. And one time, there's something the Lord told me about everything we have received, and that make me a little bit ponder. He said, there's been so much investment in our life that if this same investment we're giving to another category of people, there will be a set or a bunch of people representing or at the image of Christ on earth that will transform the whole world. Amen. What I mean, that if the quality of education and the focus of Christ in the message that we have received for the past 15 years were taken and given to another people, no matter the region, that people will be looked at as the city that cannot be hidden, because Christ will be manifested in them at a greater extent than we are. That's shocking. I said, Father, I am shocked, but I acknowledge you're very right. It came to me what the disciple told him, help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Because let me tell you, do you know what is really unbelief? Unbelief is you coming to the awareness of the grace of God in your inabilities. What it means is that you underestimate the power of God to transform you without your inabilities. That's true unbelief. Unbelief is you only calling on the Father's help, on coming in the mindset or the awareness of the communion with the Father and union with Christ only when you're unable, when you feel you're unable, when you're weak. What it means is that you are underestimating the power of God to transform you in the states of wholeness. And that you think that the biggest things that the Lord can do for you, where you can perceive his power, is when you can feel you've been relieved in a state of need. That is unbelief. And I can say that is a major problem of believer. That is your problem. And because of that, the ministration of the word of God and union with the Father and communion and those beautiful things he has provided in Christ do not have a sense in our daily life. We don't enjoy them. And that's why there's no transformation. Because transformation comes when you can enjoy these things in a state of wholeness in your mind. Let me give you an example. If you are too mindful about a need, for example, and someone comes and offers you a gift that will compensate that need, will you see that person above that gift he has given you? The only image of the person you will have, if you ever have to testify about the person, is that you were in a need and he came and gave you something. Am I right with that? Am I right with that? That's why some of us, or some of you, just remember somebody because there was a particular time where you needed something. And that time he came to you. And even that is how many people perceive a man of God. So I just remember this man of God ministered to me in the state of this need. They don't see above that. Which means that it's very feasible, it's very probable that we don't see God above the ministration to our need. But that's not the purpose why he came. What he delivered us from does not substitute what he came for. You understand what I'm saying? See, what he came for remains and is greater in purpose and is greater in power, hallelujah, than any event and any outward happening. It supersedes any outward happening. Is it possible that you might limit God to the reach out to your external activities and happening? Is it possible? It's possible, right? That for you, God can only reach out at the level of what surrounds your daily life. And that is the realm where he lives. Hallelujah. Now, when we have grown above our limitations, we have grown above our limitation. Are there limitations? Yes, there are. What are those limitations? Our inability to understand Christ's perspective. Because from there, we derive a set of other limitations. Our inability to perceive according to Christ's perspective. We are grown the level where we see struggling to perceive according to his perspective. Then we'll be able to enjoy the fullness of his life, his union and participation. Hallelujah. He could not withhold his only begotten son, but gave him to us how? Unreservedly. How did he give his son?
Unreservedly.
Unreservedly. And how will he not together, say together.
Together.
How will he not together, say together again.
Together.
With him, give us what?
All things.
That is grace defined. The issue is we focus on the all things, we live together with him. But the together with him precede the all things. And then we understand the all thing as grace. And that is why it will focus on the ministration of our need. Now, how will it not together, say together.
Together.
Say together again.
Together.
Say together with him.
Together with him.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Unreservedly, without limitation, give us together with him. 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 Together with him speaks of our sameness. Together with him speaks of our participation. Together with him speaks of our union. Together with him speaks of our communion. Am I right with that?
Amen.
Together with him speaks of fellowship, koinonia. Together with him exempt any notion of having anything that is missing. Together with him speaks of our completeness. Together with him takes away any need. Together with him. Glory be to God. Together with him. Which means if he was given once and for all, in the event of his coming in the incarnation, and his, hallelujah, and his growth and crucifixion, death, burial, his quickening, resurrection, and sitting at the right hand of the Father, if he was given unreservedly in all things. Hallelujah. If he was giving unreservedly, it simply means that God, by this gift where he did not withhold anything, hallelujah, he took care through Christ of the all things.
Thanks for joining us for the Mothers of Nations podcast. You can check our show notes at hearttoheart.org/podcast for links and details. Please like our podcast, leave a comment, review, and help us spread the word to other women like you so we can bring you more great episodes with ministerial insights and tools and knowledge from fellow ministers all over the world. If you want to get more resources from Dr. Annie Smith and fellow ministers for your education and training in ministry, please check our other episodes at hearttoheart.org/podcast or visit hearttoheart.org. Join us on our social platforms today, and we will be seeing you in another podcast with Dr. Annie Smith. And always remember, rule your world.